The scarce resources is good wireless connection, especially when you have a bunch of kids at home and they're all trying to use the Wi-Fi at the same time. Things can become complicated. So I don't know exactly how far we got. We'll try to summarize what we were up to and then make one or two other ha'aros before we begin this next sugya for tonight. So let's just review. There was a discussion in the Achronim based on a episode with Reb Shlomo of Vilna when he went to the town of Trieste. Who wants to fill me in on what happened when Reb Shlomo of Vilna went to the town of Trieste? I like starting in a different place every time. It like makes it exciting. Yes, Trieste is a town in Italy. Good. So what happened? Okay, so when he got to the town of Trieste, so Reb Shlomo of Vilna is also Reb Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, and they said, why don't you be the one who leads the duchening? You should be the one who gets up and does the duchening for everybody else. And that kind of is an awesome thing. And he was honored, and he did it. He points out that the minhag in Trieste was that they would duchen on Shabbos, as opposed to our minhag, that we only duchen on Yontiv. And he got up there, his parsha shofed him, and he did the duchening, and everything was grand. And Reb Shlomo Vilna says, this idea that they had, that one kohen does the duchening, and is mostly everybody else, based on presumably the principle of Shomei Akauna, that idea would actually explain a Mishnah, and it would explain a Pasuk. Who wants to tell me what the Mishnah that it would explain is, and who wants to tell me the Pasuk? It's good, b'makom she'ein isha, right? Tishtadli liyot isha. I guess that's the new version, yes. Huh? Even though presumably there are other Kohanim together with Aharon, still the Torah says it in the singular, right? That's the Pasuk, excellent. Megillah, good. Yeah. Gevaldik, beautiful. So this seems to be a slam dunk that Shomei HaKa'ona works by duchening, and everyone said this until Reb Yosher Ber Soloveitchik was born, until the Beis HaLevi was born. And the Beis HaLevi says, you know what, you can't do duchening based on Shomei HaKa'ona. Why not? Who wants to fill me in on this one? Let's try Ms. Siegel. How come, according to Beis HaLevi, you can't duchen l'shomei ha'ka'ona? You have to unmute yourself. Good. Good. And you're there, but you need another sentence or two. Exactly. That's according to the Beis HaLevi, Shomei HaKa'ona only means that I'm saying stuff because I hear it. And as a result, since that's what Shomei HaKa'ona means, only that I say the words, so whenever there's something else that's necessary together with the words, so Shomei HaKa'ona won't help. And in our context, since there's a requirement of Kol Ram, so Shomei HaKa'ona will not work for Kol Ram. That was the famous Beis HaLevi. And we pointed out a number of objections to the Beis HaLevi. The Chazon Ish has an essay in Simen Chof Tes where he presented a number of objections to the Beis HaLevi. Basic objection, the Chazon Ish, Who can we call on over here? This is like so much fun. I get to like call on people. It's Gevalda, right? This is like this is why you become a Rebbe, you know? Only for this. This is like. Oh. I guess so. I mean, but I don't know, 5 points. I'd assume that something like that has to be worth, like, way more than 5 points. 5 points isn't that much. I hear that. But basically, let's go, let's go through the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has a number of objections to the Beis HaLevi, but they all boil down to one idea. Who can I call on for this one idea of the Chazon Ish, his basic fundamental objection to the Beis HaLevi regarding how Shomei Akaona works? Ms. Engel, that looks like a hand, but you have to unmute yourself. Gevaldik. Excellent, right? That's the Chazon Ish's proof, and the Chazon Ish basically has like a million rayas. They are mostly just svara. You know, you're going to tell me that you're Yotzer Shomei Ka'ona when you hear a tape recorder, if you have a katan seder, Yotzer Shomei Ka'ona, those ideas are just absurd. That was one point of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish also said, tucked away, we had a discussion in the Chazon Ish about how this might be related to Dalet Kosos on Pesach. Right? Does anyone remember how this is connected to Dalet Kosos? Sarit, yeah, Bevakasha, but please unmute yourself. Okay. In other words, there are two opinions in Tosus, whether every person at the Seder has to drink the Dalet Kosos. The opinion that says that only the Seder maker drinks the Dalet Kosos is clear that the way Shomei Ka'ona works is that I'm being motzi you. That's the basic idea. Now, we noted that the Chazon Ish is very strange because he seems to be bringing a proof from the opinion in Tosfos that we do not follow, no? Has anyone ever been to a Seder that only the leader of the Seder drank the Dalet Kosos? I've never been there, right? Sarah Verschleiser is shaking her head like, of course not. We've never seen anything like that. So, it's funny. The Chazon Ish is saying, yeah, may Iker Hadin, we follow that other practice, even though no one living or dead has ever seen it. But that is basically what the Chazon says. Temi Latin, my computer tells me that you raised your hand. So, correct. Chanukah, one person lights for everyone. But again, there are certain things. Let's talk about Chanukah for a second, then I'll get back to Temi's point about Kiddush. Chanukah, when one person lights for everyone, the idea is that I have no independent mitzvah to light Chanukah Neiros. The mitzvah is that the house has Chanukah Neiros lit. Then there's some additional kiyum of Mahadrin or whatever when everyone lights, but fundamentally you have no obligation to light Chanukah candles. The household has to have Chanukah candles lit. So I don't know if that would count as being motzi. Because right, motzi means I have an individual obligation, and you are discharging that obligation on my behalf. Now, Temi was asking from Kiddush, but here's the thing. Kiddush Friday night, for example, there is no mitzvah to drink the wine at all. there's a mitzvah to hear Kiddush, to make Kiddush. And someone is making Kiddush for me, and all is grand. So, I'm yotze. I don't have to drink the wine. By Dalev Kosos, there's a din of drinking the wine. The question is, can you drink the wine for me, or not? Right? So that's already closer to our conversation of Shomei Ka'ona, or what we said from the Rugged Shavar about the Aseres B'nei Haman. That seems to be this conversation so far. Abigail Rocklin, you're raising your hand, but to really raise your hand, you have to like push the raise the hand button, or else, you know, this canvas system is not recording that your hand is up, but I'll acknowledge your hand, yes. That's correct. The way Tosafot says is because we're machmir. However, in the Shulchan Aruch, the other opinion is not at all mentioned. There is zero reference in Sifrei Halacha that only the Baal HaBayis can drink the Dalei Kosos. If we would really follow that Shita, it's just a Chumra Natu, you'd think that there should be some reference somewhere to this Shita. But there is no reference. Shulchan Aruch just says, as a Dabar Pashat, everyone drinks the Dalei Kosos. End of conversation. Now, can you still hear me now? Because it says my internet connection is unstable. Can you still hear me? Okay, good. Fine. So that is the Chazon Ish. We also pointed out that the Nitziv had another objection to the Beis Halevi. Does anyone remember the Nitziv's objection? A tshuva in the Meshev Dovar. So the Nitziv has an objection based on the din of Vidui Meiser. Even though Vidui Meiser also has to be done B'Koram, no? Excuse me, even though Mikra Bikurim, I'm sorry, I keep on getting this backwards. Mikra Bikurim you say out loud. And one person can be Motzi everyone with Mikra Bikurim, even though it's done B'Koram. So you see that the fact that something is done B'Koram does not tell me that it cannot be, that we can't have Shomei Ka'ona. That's the Nitziv's question. Ms. Engel. Yeah. In other words, here, let's go back to the beginning of our perek. The beginning of our perek tells us that a person should always say the genus b'kol ram, and you say the shevach b'kol namach. Right? When I praise myself, I say it in a low voice. When I say genus, I say it out loud. The shevach that I say b'kol namach, that's from Vidui Meiser. The genus is said b'kol ram, that's learned from Mikra Bikurim. The Torah by Mikra Bikurim says, v'anisa v'amarita l'fnei Hashem l'okecha. Aniya and amira is an expression of saying it loud. V'anisa v'amarita l'fnei Hashem l'okecha. So that tells me that Mikra Bikurim has to be done out loud. Yet the Mishnayos say that the way Mikra Bikurim went is that one person would come and one person would say Mikra Bikurim for everybody. That means I'm being motzi you with Mikra Bikurim based on Shomei Ka'ona. Well, how can I be motzi you if it's B'kol Ram? Explains the Nitziv, oh, well, it's not a problem because even though it has to be B'kol Ram, nonetheless I can be motzi you. And the Beis Halevi was a nice man. He had a beard. We like him, but he's wrong. Temi, is that a hand up? No. Okay. So that's the Nitziv's question. Based on all of this, right, the Chazon Ish's objection to conceptually, to the way the Beis Halevi understands Shomei Ka'ona, and the Nitziv's objection, the specific objection from Mikra Bikurim, based on this, we presented a new pshat in the Beis Halevi. We said from Rav Soloveitchik and from the Emek Bracha and from a number of people, a totally different pshat in the Beis Halevi. Who wants to tell me this new pshat in the Beis Halevi? There's a few of you I haven't heard from yet, so I'm tempted to call on you. So if someone wants to protect their friends, I don't call on people I haven't said anything yet, you should call out now. Can you just speak louder, Shira?
Yeah. Did we say that because it's specifically
said that one of the high minor Hakohanim, that there needs to be some sort of connection? Exactly. Exactly. What the Beis HaLevi means is not that anything that you have to say loud, there's no Shomea Ka'ona. That's a silly type of idea. What the Beis HaLevi meant is that duchening is really a connection between the mivarech and the misbarech. And because it's a connection, so I can't be yotze connection with proxy. Proxy, shemeya ka'one, does not work for something that requires connection. That's the idea that the Beis HaLevi developed. I should say that the Beis HaLevi, as understood by Rav Soloveitchik, as understood by the Emek Bracha, they developed the idea that way. Shomea Ka'ona will work even for things that there is a additional requirement to. Aseres b'nei hama b'nei shima achas, Shomea Ka'ona will work. All the Beis HaLevi meant is that Shomea Ka'ona does not work by duchening, because duchening requires koram, zot omeret. What koram means is a connection between the mivarech and the misbarech. That is the definition of koram. Now, there's a few loose pieces that I want to pick up on this sugya, and then we actually will move on. Let's just talk about loose pieces. What we are suggesting is that Shomea Ka'one should not work by duchening as a specific duchening halacha. Right? The Rebbe Tzalel of Vilna said that I have proof to my idea from a Mishnah in the Mishnah in Megillah. We see from the Mishnah in Megillah that one Kohen is Nosei Kapov, the one who gets Mafdir is Nosei is Kapov. He's Poris HaShema, Over Lefnei HaTeva, V'hu Nosei Es Kapov. How can we explain this Mishnah once we're saying that, whoa, maybe the Beis HaLevi is right, that you can't do Shomea Ka'ona by Duchening? So what do I do with the Beferish or Mishnah that says that there is Shomea Ka'ona by Duchening? It says, V'hu Nosei Es Kapov. That's the question. So, in order to answer questions, you have to look in the Mefarshim, in the big Mishnayos. So they have Shinuyei Nuskaos on the side. The big Mishnayos, I mean like the Yachnu Boaz Mishnayos. So in the Yachnu Boaz Mishnayos, he points out that in the Ksav Yad Kaufman and the Ksav Yad Minken, okay, there are different Kisvei Yad. There are different manuscripts. The Ksav Yad Minken is a Munich manuscript, which is the only complete manuscript on all of Shas. The book Dikdukei Sofrim is based on the Ksav Yad Minken. It's based on the Munich manuscript. There's also Ksav Yad Kaufman. These are the two most famous manuscripts. In both of those two most famous manuscripts, the Mishnah writes that the person who gets maftir, who pores al shema, who over lefnei hateva, and it does not say who nosei is kapov. The Mishnah does not say that. Okay, this is what we call the least lumdisha answer possible, no? Which is yavakasha, the Mishnah says he duchens. You know what my answer is? Ain't no such baby. It don't exist. There is no such Mishnah. That's basically what the Shinui Nusko says, which is a nice idea, but to some extent it is what we would call unsatisfying. It's unsatisfying because it's not It's not that exciting. Reb Kiva Eger, however, has something which is a teeny bit more exciting. You know, there's a din that I hope we'll get to this semester of a Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim. Let's say you have a shul, and everyone in the shul is a Kohen. So what do you do about duchening there? Everyone's a Kohen. What do you do? This actually happens. There's an island called Djerba. No? D-G-E-R-B-A? Djerba. You could look it up and Google it, and you'll have lots of fun. The island of Djerba, apparently, is all Kohanim. The entire... What? Right. So, I was thinking about that. Like, if you have, like, a massive family with, like, 12 kids, it's entirely possible that you have a minion, even now, right? But then you'd have a minion of all Kohanim. What? Well, you probably should not be having grandparents over. I'm very worried about, like, whatever. I'm worried about my parents. I'll say it like that. Baruch Hashem, my parents are both in their mid to upper 80s, and it gets scary. It gets scary. Now, Reb Kiva Eger says that maybe the pshat in the Mishnah, according to the Girsa that says, who knows, says Kapov, is as follows. If you have a Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim, so if you have 10 Kohanim, what you do is all 10 Kohanim go up and duchen. And the Gemara says they're giving the bracha la'am shebesados. They're giving the bracha to the Jews who are out in the fields. They get the bracha. All the Kohanim, I imagine it's like the funniest picture ever, no? Like the Mubchazos shots, and like the whole shul turns around and gives a bracha to nobody. Right? To no one, right? They give a bracha, what's to everyone? They give the bracha to la'am shebesados. I don't know if you saw, one of my friends posted on Twitter, like a picture of a rabbi giving a sermon and like the entire synagogue is empty. It's like, if you've been a rabbi, it always feels like that. It's not such a chiddush. Sarit's father's a rabbi. She can sympathize with this. You're giving the bracha la'am shebesados. Let's say you have more than 10 kohanim, however. Let's say you have 11 kohanim. So what do you do in that case? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you designate one of those 10 people to do the duchening for everybody. In other words, one of them goes up, the other kaihanim, the other 10, stay back, and they listen to the duchening from that one guy. So perhaps the pshat is, who knows say is kapov, that this, in that case, it's a little bit of an unusual case, but maybe in that case, who knows say is kapov, in that case when you have a total of 11 Kohanim, and one Kohen is giving the bracha to everybody, so that's when we invoke this din. That's the suggestion that Reb Kiva Eger has. Okay, so that is tying up that loose string, the loose string of the Mishnah. I don't remember if we got to this last time or not, but there is a Gemara on Lamed Tesamad Aleph, Bameha Erachta Yomim. Right? If you look at Lamed Tesamad Aleph, the Talmidim asked Reb Elazar ben Shammua, what did you do to merit a long life? So he answered that what I did was, I never duchened without a bracha. And everybody in their right mind, everyone, I shouldn't say it like that, everyone jumps up and down and they ask a question, what do you mean you never duchened without a bracha? That's not something that should give you Arichas Yomim. You get Arichas Yomim when you go above and beyond the call of duty. When you do something that's unnecessary. Why is it that, right, you get Arichas Yomim because you duchen with a bracha? Big whoop. You make a bracha on everything, no? There's actually a whole discussion. Do you make a bracha on everything? Kol ha-mitzvos mevarchin lo yimov l'asiyos. And that's the Lashon HaGemara in Pesachim Daf Zayin. You don't make a bracha on Sivri Yitzis Mitzrayim. You don't make... Right. That's an interesting question. Why don't they make a bracha on Sivri Yitzis Mitzrayim? So we make a bracha at the end. We say, Asher Go'alanu. That could be the bracha on Sivri Yitzis Mitzrayim. But actually, there's a tshuva of the Besamim Rosh. The Besamim Rosh, okay, you have to look this one up on Wikipedia. The Besamim Rosh is probably the greatest forgery in the history of rabbinic literature. There was a fellow who was mamish a charlatan, mamish a faker. And he said he found an old manuscript of Chuvis, and these are the Chuvis of the Rosh. And he published it. And he published his own notes on the Chuvis, called the Kasid HaHarsana. And the man was brilliant. And Reb Kiva Eger, many of the Gedolim were fooled by the Sefer, by the Besamim Rosh. And they said, oh wow, that's like such an awesome and amazing Sefer. Like, it's really cool. Some of the ideas in the Besamim Rosh are totally ludicrous, no? Besamim Rosh writes that the halachos of Nida no longer apply to Zman Hazeh, because Nida is a din only for Tumah going to the Beis HaMikdash, no more halachos of Nida. Kind of wild. Besamim Rosh writes, you know the theme song for MASH was, because suicide is painless, right? Besamim Rosh has a tshuva where he's mekel on committing suicide. If you are worried that you do, like, I see like the faces, like something like, oh my gosh, like what's going on here? The Besamim Rosh is wild, right? I don't know how the Gedolim fell for this, right? Reb Kiveger fell for the Besamim Rosh. He has a tshuva. He says suicide is mutter. If a person feels that he did or she did so many averis that they can't go on living, so suicide is mutter. It's a way of doing tshuva. It's against Judaism. In fact, the Chassam Sofer, based on that tshuva, was sensitive to the fact that it can't be that anyone in rabbinic literature ever said this, and he says it's called the Kuzbi HaRosh. He says that the book should not be called the Besamim Rosh, it should be called the Lies of the Rosh, or the Deceit of the Rosh. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Okay, so Besamim Rosh has a lot of nutty stuff, but he also has certain interesting things. Besamim Rosh writes, how come there is no bracha on Haggadah? Right? How come when we say the Haggadah, we don't make a bracha at all? So Besamim Rosh says, let me just flip through my pages, because I'm pretty sure I have a photocopy of it here. Let's go back. Sami Rosh says, you know what? There's no bracha on a mitzvah which itself is a bracha. That's one idea that they say. For example, I don't make a bracha before I bench. Right? Benching, because Hamas is a mitzvah. How come I don't say a bracha? Shekin shamat sosabat zivanu levarich pirkas hamazon. The answer is that you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha because benching itself is a bracha. You don't make a bracha on the bracha itself. So it could be that's why duchening doesn't really get a bracha, because duchening is a bracha. Yivrachacha Hashem v'yishmerecha is a bracha. So you don't make a bracha on a bracha. And the Besamim Rosh extends this. He says, the reason you don't make a bracha on the bracha is because a bracha is all shavach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Consequently, there's no bracha on the Haggadah of Leil Pesach, because all the Haggadah is shavach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you don't make a bracha on the bracha. So what about Hallel? How can we say Hallel, we make a bracha? So he says, well, since Hallel is written in Ksuvim, and it sounds like it's Psukim, and we're making a bracha that we are reciting these particular Psukim. But Haggadah itself, right, he makes a distinction. I'm reading the Besamim Rosh Simon Kuf Tzad Yivav. You could probably find Besamim Rosh on Bar Ilan. But in Simon Kuf Tzad Yivav of the Besamim Rosh, he writes, I'll read you the words. Lo ya'ale al hada'as levarich al habrachos v'hashvachos. You don't make a bracha on the bracha. Kemo she'im mevarchim she'tzivanu levarich birkas hamazon. V'hagadah is kula kilusim u'shvachos. The Haggadah is all praise her bona shalom. And the bracha of asher ge'olanu is a real bracha that comes afterwards. And even Hallel, that we make a bracha, shekicham tzosav etzivanu, that's only lofi sheksuva bein haksuvim, the omra b'loshen zeh davka. That's what he says. Again, it's not exactly clear what he means, But he's making some distinction. I think what he's saying is that the bracha that you say on Hallel is that we are saying these particular psukim as the Shabbat to Rebbe Nishalayim. These particular psukim. Really, we can do any Shabbat we want. The fact that I'm commanded to do these particular psukim, that's why it gets a bracha. Okay, you seem to be unsatisfied. I can't say I myself am satisfied, but that's the Besamim Rosh. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Bameherachta yomim, how can you have a long life?" The Gemara answers, "Because I duchened with a bracha." Apparently, duchening would not really require a bracha kishala atzmo. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva in Chelek Gimel Varachayim Simin Yud Zayin. The Moshe says, "You know what it means? It means well, nasasi kapi below bracha." Meaning, I always made the bracha. I was never yotze with shomei ka'one. There's a maila of making a bracha yourself. Yes, shomei ka'one is a way of being yotze, but it's better to do it yourself. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein, that tshuva explains that this gemara on daf. How come you had a long life? The answer is, lo nasasi kapi below bracha, I never duchened without a bracha. What that means is, theoretically, you could be yotze with shomei ka'one, but he got a long life, Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua got a long life, because he never did that. That's the way Rav Moshe says it. Abigail Rachman, my computer tells me that you raised your hand. It says that someone else raised their hand also. Oh, Temi. Okay, so first, we'll hear from Abigail and from Temi. This looks so awesome. Correct. When Moshe Feinstein is discussing the bracha, for our purposes, we are not making a distinction because I'm assuming that the bracha is connected to the duchening. You're making an excellent point. Theoretically, we could make such a distinction. The Magen Avraham in one place is open to that. I just am worried that if we go down that road, it will take us too far. So yes, you're making a good point, but I think there's a... Logically, I think it makes sense that they should be connected. Temi, you had a comment? Moshe sounds like, in general, for everything, it's better to do it yourself. He gives duchening me'ezeh sibashihi. He gives duchening as his example. In other words, the maila, my frumkeit, the reason why I had arichus yomim, is because I used to make brachas myself and I wasn't yotzei v'shomei ka'one. And duchening is an example. I mean, you're reading the Rav Moshe correctly. I mean, again, apparently there's some midas chasidus to do so. You know, midas chasidus are interesting things. Like, frumkeit is not for everybody. Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua got a long life because he was makbid on this. That doesn't mean that we should be makbid on it. That we have to take on chumras which are appropriate for us. I don't know if this one is appropriate for everybody. Right. I mean, you're saying, like, why not do it? Right, that's because we have, I mean, Shulchan Aruch, right, that's because we assume that Bizman Hazer, we don't have the ability to have proper kavana. In theory, you see, there are certain mitzvos that are So here's the thing. Shomei ka'ona, there are certain times where it's better for someone to be motzi you because that creates an element of tzibur. Right? So, zimun is an interesting situation because if you have zimun, that is a Beravam Hadras Melech type of thing, which is better than every Yochid doing it on his or her own. So Tefillah V'Tzibur, so again, we assume that being Yotzei with the Chazan is not done. We have the individual Tefillah, then we have the Shatz, repeats the Shemona Esrei. The reason why we have both is because there's two different elements of the Tefillah. You should not be Yotzei with the Shatz if you can daven on your own. Only in the situation when someone can't daven on his or her own, you can't speak, or whatever the reason. It's only then should you be Yotzei with the Shatz. If not, you're not Yotzei with the Shatz. Temi, you have a comment? Yeah, so that's really interesting. In other words, are you going to say, for example, that there's a lechatchila for everyone to blow shofar on his own or her own on Rosh Hashanah, that the synagogue would be a cacophonous din if you did that? No? It would be... But maybe the idea is that Shemaya Ka'ona... Again, at least according to Rav Moshe's explanation of the Midas Chasidus of Rav Lozer ben Shamua, is that he was not Yotzei with Shemaya Ka'ona. That's correct. So I would say that there's certain mitzvahs which are like tzibur type of inyanim, and then I say Beravam Hadras Melech. But when the mitzvah is only an individual mitzvah, I don't know if I say Beravam Hadras Melech. One thing I don't understand about Zoom is like people like are moving around, right? Like Sarah Vishlas, what? Oh, okay. I just like. Whatever. There used to be a show on TV called Hollywood Squares. And, like, okay, you probably have not. You don't know what a TV is. You don't know. Like, you're all very frail, I understand. But, okay, so that's what Rav Moshe says. I think Rav Moshe. It's Pekuach Nefesh. That's what you're saying. I hear. I have to admit, my wife, you know, works in SAR High School, so because, like, everyone is home now, she took from SAR's production room, it's like, some film projectors. So my kids, like, we have movie night. Now we rent for, you can rent for $2.99 from Amazon, a movie, and, like, show it. So this is how we are spending Zoom schooling, or whatever. Weiter. Okay, so that is what Rav Moshe says. Again, I just like this because it's an application of the idea that we've been saying. One other application of the idea that we've been saying, again, I don't remember if we did this last time or not, but the Tosas at the bottom of Lamed Ches Omed Aleph. The Gemara says that Duchening is Bekoram. Frekli Gemara, maybe it's not Bekoram, maybe it's Balachash. So Gemara answers, no, Amar Lahem tells me Ka'adam Omer L'Chavero, and that's why it is Bekoram. Taisus asks Akasha, how come you have to learn the din of Koram from Ka'adam HaOmer L'Chavero? Why don't I learn the din of Koram from Hargerizim and Harival? Right, just like we see that by Hargerizim and Harival, you have to do stuff Bekoram, and we learn Lashon HaKodesh from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And we learn Amida, right? The fact that Duchening has to be done standing, we learn that from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. So how come I don't learn Koram for Har Gerizim and Har Eval? That's Tosis's Kasha. And Tosis says, well, maybe our Gemara is going according to that one Tana who doesn't learn stuff from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Our Gemara is going according to the Tana of Reb Yehuda. Ad kan divrei hatosis. But hanir lo fiyan yes daiti. It seems to me that there would be a huge difference between whether I learn from Har Gerizim and Har Eval, or if I learn from Kol Ram. If I learn, excuse me, from Amar Lahem. If the halacha of Kol Ram is derived from Amar Lahem, It is a different sort of Koram than if Koram is derived from Har Gerizim and Har Eval. I want someone to plug this in for me. How is the Koram? Mi'ira? Is that a hand? Exactly. In other words, if you want to learn Koram from Har Gerizim, Har Eval, so it has to be very loud, as opposed to the Koram that's from Amar Lahem, which is Ka'adam HaOmer L'Chaveiro, but to just say it a little differently, if you're learning from Amar Lahem, so maybe there's no fundamental halacha of Koram, maybe the halacha is just that you need a kesher, you need a connection between the Mevarech and the Misbarech. It's not a din in Koram per se. But if I would learn from Har Gerizim and Har Eval, then it would be a din of Koram per se. Now, this was all supposed to be the shiur on Monday night. Now, it's not Monday anymore, now it's Wednesday. Should we go? Are there any questions on, like, this whole conversation about Shomea Ka'ona, etc.? Have we exhausted this topic? Oh, did we speak about the Bir Halachas Kasha? The Bir Halacha in Se'if Chav Zayin, did we discuss that? That's another point I wanted to make in this sugya. No, let's hold off on it just because I want to move on from Koram already. Is that okay, Cha? Correct, yeah. Well, we spoke about that, right? Okay, so we don't have to repeat it. Excellent. Let's do the next Gemara. Amar Abaye. Three lines in the bottom, Lamech Hasam and Aleph. Amar Abaye, Naktinon. What does naktinon mean? The way we hold, we paskin, right? Abaye is putting on the posek hat, and he says, naktinon we paskin, l'shnayim kore kohanim, ula echar eno kore kohen. Right, there is a halacha of kriya. Hello, Frima, welcome. There is a halacha of kriya. Kriya means that you have to call out, Kohanim, right? They don't just begin to duchen on their own. Someone calls them. Okay, wonderful. Says Abaye, if there are two Kohanim, you do a Kriya. But for Echad, if there's only one, so then you do not do a Kriya. Le'echad eno kore Kohen, she'ne'emar amar lahem, Lishnayim. It has to be that you say to them, that means Lishnayim. The din of Kriya is only to two Kohanim. If there's only one Kohen, so there's no halacha of Kriya. That's a bias statement. Now, who is the Korei? Who makes this call? Kohanim. The chazan, okay. And how do we say... And we have to define what a chazan is. You're very good. Yashar Koach. Okay, so look at Rashi. What does Rashi tell me? Right? It's the next Rashi. It's Kohen Kore Kohanim. Right? The Rashi says Shaleach Tzibor. Which is, I think, what we would call chazin in our parlance. However, chazin in certain areas of rabbinic Hebrew has a totally different meaning, and that meaning is the shamash. Right? The shamash is like a sexton in shul. The shul I went to as a kid had a paid shamash. He was like on the shul stationery and stuff. I think it's like a dying field. You still have a shamash in Oakland? My understanding, he was like in charge of like making sure there's a minion, and he would lane, and he took care of like, what? So in many old shows, there's a shamish would make sure that there is a minion. There's an old shamish when I grew up in my show, Mr. Spurn, his name was. He actually got me into, I wasn't like such a, right after my bar mitzvah, I wasn't, like, always going to Minyan, and he would, like, call me and say, we need an extra person for Minyan, you have to come.
And then at one point he called me and said, we need someone to say a Dvar Torah between Mincha and Ma'ariv. That was like my first gig. I had no idea what the heck I was doing. But he and my rabbi at the time, Rabbi Wurzberger, encouraged me to do that. Like, you know, to say Dvar Torah and Shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv when I was like 13, 14. And it actually made an impact on my life. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so now... So Rashi writes that the Shaliach Tzibur calls Kohanim. Tosis and Brachos quotes that... It's going to be hard for me to read over here with this light. Okay, who wants to tell me what Tosis and Brachos says? Abigail, it seems like you read the Tosis and Brachos last night. What does the Tosis say? Correct. Right? In other words, according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Taisis, the Shaliach Tzibur cannot say Kohanim. The Shaliach Tzibur is in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Right? That's what Chazal Sashat says, it's Shmona Esrei. I'm not allowed to talk in Shmona Esrei. If I say Kohanim, I'm talking. That's not proper. So therefore, says the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shaliach Tzibur does not do it. Rather, it is the Chazon who does it, and Chazon is not the Shaliach Tzibur. Chazon is the Misasik B'Tzarchei Tzibur. Chazon is the Shamish, basically. And he brings a raya from a Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes that the way the Gemara distinguishes, you have the Kore, and then you have Shaliach Tzibur. It sounds like it is two different people. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. The problem is that the Medrash writes that the Shaliach Tzibur says Yivarech Echa Hashem. Right, the Shaliach Tzibur is the one who calls out every word. So why would it be that it is a hefsek to say Kohanim if the Shaliach, right, the Shaliach Tzibur should not say Kohanim? That would be a hefsek. But nonetheless, right, he's saying Yivarech Echa, etc. So apparently, there's some distinction between them, but it's not exactly clear. It's not clear what this distinction is. Taisus also concludes that maybe saying Kohanim is only a hefsek at a time that they would not say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. But if you can say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Baruchem Abraham Moshulashes, etc., so then you're already saying that tefillah. So you just say one word, Kohanim, out loud, that is not going to be a hefsek. That's the end of the Tosfos. Halacha l'maisa in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Chav Chesed If Yud, it's not clear. It's not clear who does the calling out. It says in Shulchan Aruch, should I bring it? I don't remember. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Shaliach Tzibur calls out. But the Shaliach Tzibur is written in parentheses. Meaning, I don't know what to do with that. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch has a text of Shaliach Tzibur, but then it takes those words Shaliach Tzibur out. Okay. So the first Nakuda that we have in this Sugya is the discussion as to who calls Kohanim. Is it the Shaliach Tzibur, or is it the Shamish? There are different minhagim. In the Chazon Ish's minyan, he used to be makbid that the Shaliach Tzibur would not say Kohanim. And not only was he makbid the Shaliach Tzibur would not say Kohanim, he was also makbid that the Shaliach Tzibur would not say Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Right? The calling out of every word was also not done by the Shaliach Tzibur. When I was in Yeshiva in Israel, that was the practice in KBY. The Chazon would not say Kohanim. One of the Rebbeim would say it, and that same Rebbe would also say Vrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, etc. So that is one issue. One issue in the Sugya. Issue number two in the Sugya. why is it that there's a difference between one Kohen and two Kohanim? Yes, Abaye has a pasuk. It says, Amar Lahem. Right? Amar Lahem means that you say to them, the two of them. But is there something more to it? Is it just a Gezeres HaKasav? Or maybe there is a real difference. And many of the Achrenim say, and the Tosus HaRosh presents this idea, but he rejects it, that maybe a single Kohen does not have to duchen at all. Amar Lahem. The halacha is two Kohanim duchen. If you have only one Kohen, you don't duchen. Now, there are different ways of saying this. One way of saying it is that if you have only one Kohen, you don't duchen at all. The other way of saying this is that if you have only one Kohen, you duchen, but it's not duchening min ha-Torah. It's duchening only midrabanan. The Tosus HaRosh says it's impossible that when you have one Kohen, that there is no duchening. Because he says, I have a Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah in Brachos there on Daf Lamed Daled, right, in that sugya where we have the Tosis. The Mishnah writes, Ha'over lefnei hateva, lo ya'ane amein achar kohanim mipnei hatiruf. The chazan, the over lefnei hateva, the chazan should not say amein after the kohanim because he'll get confused. Mipnei hatiruf. Im ein sham kohen elohu, lo yisa eskapov. If he's the only Kohen, he still should not duchen. There's a real concern that you'll get mixed up. So therefore, you don't answer Amen. And even if you're the only Kohen, you don't duchen. However, if you're sure that you'll be chozer l'tfiloso, then you're allowed to duchen. Right? So if there's only one Kohen, and that one Kohen is the Shaliach Tzibor, so then he should not duchen, meaning go without any duchening. The only time we allow that one Kohen to duchen, who's the Shaliach Tzibor, is if he is convinced, without any doubt whatsoever, that he will not get mixed up. Im haftachaso, shunosi eskapa, v'chozi l'tfiloso, rashoi. The only time he's allowed to duchen is if he is 100% convinced he won't make a mistake. And that's what the Mishnah says. So the Balei HaTosfos comment that you see from the Mishnah that one Kohen can duchen. Don't tell me that one Kohen does not duchen at all. They don't tell me one Kohen does not duchen. Because it's clear in the Mishnah in Brachas Daf Lamed Daled that one Kohen does duchen if, even if he's the Shaliach Tzibor, if he is convinced that he will not make a mistake. Now, it's a little bit strange, because l'cha'ora, you don't duchen, there's no chiyuv to duchen. There's no chiyuv to duchen unless you were called to duchen. Amar lahem means that in order to duchen, you need a trigger. That trigger is that someone calls on you. Amar lahem means you need two kohanim. L'cha'ora, both dinim are true. If that's the case, that both dinim are true, so if I have only one kohen, there's no one who calls on you, so then you don't have to duchen. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says, in Brachos, that there's only one kohen, he does duchen, providing he's convinced that he won't mess up. So the Torah writes, you know what? Maybe if there's one Kohen, you duchen, even without being called. And then the Beis Yosef says that makes absolutely no sense. How can you duchen without being called? Kriya, the calling on the Kohen, the summoning of the Kohen, is an essential part of the duchening. So Beis Yosef says, well, maybe we're talking about that they called this one guy to duchen, even though they don't have to. Okay, let's just review what we're up to. I see a lot of blank faces. Some of my kids have phone school. I imagine there's like no learning whatsoever going on when you have phone school. At least with Zoom school, like I could see people. With phone school, like whatever. Huh? So, I saw blank faces. Let's review. Amar Lahem means you need two kohanim. Amar Lahem also means that you need a kriya. That you have to summon the kohen to duchen. The pashtus would be that if you have only one kohen and you don't summon the kohen to duchen, there is no duchening at all. But that's impossible. Because the Mishnah Bracha says if you have a shaliach tzibur, who's a kohen, and that shaliach tzibur is convinced he'll be able to go back to davening, so he's allowed to duchen. What do you mean? How's he allowed to duchen? It's only one kohen. And one kohen, there's no summons. If there's no summons, you don't duchen. So the Torah says that the only time you need a summons is if there's two kohanim. I'll get to you in a second, Abigail. There's one kohen, you don't need a summons. The Beis Yosef says, that's ludicrous. You always need a summons to duchen. The thing is that if there's one kohen, maybe the case is that they did summons the one kohen. And the Mishnah in Brachos that says that Shaliach Tzibur Kohen Duchens, it's talking about when they summoned that one Shaliach Tzibur Kohen to Duchen. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Abigail, now you have a comment? Now, the Torah is very difficult. I gave you a Marimakom. I think I wrote that if you are interested, take a look at the Taz. The Taz in Sifkatin Gimel, the Taz, by the way, what's the name of the Taz? What's the name of the Taz Sefer? What does Taz stand for? What? Turei Zahav. Turei Zahav, right? That means like rolls of gold. It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, no? Turei Zahav. But Turei Zahav also comes from accession Tur. The Taz, unlike most Achronim, the Taz views it like it's his sacred duty to defend the Tur all the time. Even when the Tur seems to be mistaken, the Taz feels, I'm going to defend the Tur. So even in this case, where the Tur says that one Kohen has to duchen, even though the Kohen is not summoned, which seems to be very difficult, because how do you ever duchen without being summoned? The Taz tries to defend the Tur, Ayin Shom, that's like the Taz as part of his sacred duty. Let's go on. So far we say, for one Kohen, you do not summon that one Kohen. That is what Talmud Bavli says. What does the Yerushalmi say? Now if you can tell me, hey, how do I know Yerushalmi? I'll tell you, because you have to look at the Tosfos. What does Tosfos quote from the Yerushalmi? Bottom Tosfos on Lamed Chesamed Aleph. So the Yerushalmi quotes Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak as saying something. Temi? Right, so the Yerushalmi says if there's one Kohen, you call a Kohen. This opinion of the Yerushalmi is not quoted in any of the poskim. Halacha l'maisa. If there is only one Kohen, if you are a Sfaradi, that Kohen just begins making the bracha. There is no summons at all to that Kohen. If there is only one Kohen, there's no summons at all to the Kohen if you're a Sfaradi. If you're an Ashkenazi, we also do not do a real summons. The practice of Ashkenazim is that the Chazen, again, I have to be careful, the Shaliach Tzibur, the Shaliach Tzibur says, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Barcheinu Avraham Shleshes, right? He says all this in an undertone, right? Kohanim. And he calls that word Kohanim out. By the way, Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur, is not responded by the Kohanim themselves. Amkel Shachar Ka'amur is a response that the Tzibur makes. Kohanim, Am Kedoshecha is what the Tzibur says. But Ashkenazi Psak is that the Shaliach Tzibur does not really call Kohanim, but what the Shaliach Tzibur does is he recites Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and when he gets that word Kohanim, he says it out loud. It should be the Tzibur, yeah. Again, when we do Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, the Chazan is just davening that we should receive the bracha that Kohanim used to give. Right? We only say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu a time when there is no duchening, right? But, and days when there is duchening, so you say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu kind of in a hidden way as a tefillah, and then you use the word Kohanim and you call Kohanim. Or on a regular time when it is duchening and they say Kohanim and then it says Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur, I think Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur is a response that the Tzibur makes. The Kohanim. Well, no, the Kohanim never say Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur. The Tzibur says Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur. The Chazan calls out Kohanim, or the Shaliach Tzibur calls out Kohanim. And the Tzibur says, Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur. The Kohanim themselves should not say, Am Kedoshecha Ka'amur. I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah means. So that's the next point in this Gemara. So we did Abaye's statement, that Shnayim Yikol Kohanim, Lo'echar Inu Korei Kohen. Ve'omer Rav Chista, Naktinon, Kohen Korei Kohanim, Ve'en Yisrael Kore Kohanim. Shenema Amar Lahem Amira Mishalahem. According to Rav Chista, the summons to Duchen has to come from a member of the tribe. Only a Kohen summonses the other Kohanim to Duchen. A non-Kohen does not make the summons. That is Rav Chista as it appears in the Talmud Bavli. What's the Yerushalmi's version of Rav Chista? So again, look back in the Taisis. What's the Yerushalmi quote? The opposite, right? Rav Chista said, it uses the word Chazan, yeah. Okay. Again, but we don't know what the word Chazan means, right? It could mean Shaliach Tzibur, could not. It's a complicated word. I don't know what it means. The point is that Rav Chista in the Bavli is so say Rav Chista in the Yerushalmi. Now, there's a whole literature on this. Some say, oh, there are two people named Rav Chista. Maybe, I don't know. The better answer probably is that often we have the Yerushalmi and the Bavli reversing names. It's not like an uncommon thing. Usually we assume that the Mesorah in the Bavli is a more accurate Mesorah. So we're saying that Rav Chista over here says that a Kohen Dafka should be Kore Kohanim. And the Gemara's conclusion is that we do not paskin like Rav Chista. No? The Gemara concludes that the halacha follows Abaye, but the halacha does not follow Rav Chista. That's the maskana of our Gemara. That means, as a matter of halacha, that the Kohen, we paskin again that Yisrael should call Kohanim, not a Kohen. We do not follow Rav Chista in the Bavli. The Mishnah Berurah writes, therefore, as a matter of halacha, that you should make sure that the Shaliach Tzibur, at least on the Yontiv, when you duchen, the Shaliach Tzibur from Musaf, when you're going to duchen, should not be a Kohen. Because since we paskin that the Amira, we paskin basically like Rav Chista and the Yerushalmi, even the Bavli paskin like Rav Chista and Yerushalmi, because the Bavli says the halacha is not like the halacha is not like Rav Chista. What that means is that the shaliach tzibur and the yontiv should not be a kohen. And Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. It's not really feasible, no? You have someone who's in avelos, a person's davening for the umrah, etc. But in chutz aretz, we really should be careful that the shaliach tzibur is not a kohen. What's it to avoid? So, it's to avoid two things. One thing is, the kriya to kohanim should come from a non-kohen. Right? Rav Chisda Yerushalmi says, right, that the tzarech she'achaz on Yisrael, the one who calls them, has to be a Yisrael. So you shouldn't have a shaliach tzibur kohen because he can't call out kohanim. Maybe someone else will call out kohanim. Well, then you get involved in the problem. Because in most places, the shaliach tzibur is davening in somewhere in the middle of the shul, no? And the duchening happens in front of the shul near the Aron Kodesh. Are you allowed to walk in middle of Shemoneh Esrei? This is a no-brainer, no? Are you allowed to walk in middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Right, thumbs down. Right, we don't have a thumbs down thing on Zoom. You only have like a thumbs up. But you're not supposed to walk in Moshe Rabbeinu's way. So what do you do if the Shaliach Tzibur, if you're a Chazan, if you're the Shaliach Tzibur and you're a Kohen, what do you do about Duchening? So, there's a long literature about this, but the way I like to remember stuff is I tell stories. So, in the old YU based Medrash, you know, the Harry Fischel based Medrash, which is in like the big building on Amsterdam between 185th and 186th. So, in that based Medrash, the Baal Tefillah and Yomim Noraim, when I was a student, was Rabbi Kerner, Rabbi Shimon Kerner, who's a Rebbe in MTA. And Rabbi Kerner is a Kohen. And Rabbi Kerner used to duchen. He's Baal Tefillah, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He used to duchen. And he used to, when it came time for, he would wash his hands before Chazaras HaShatz. And then when it's time to duchen, he would run up to the front and he would duchen. And then he'd run back down and he'd say Sim Shalom. At that time, one of those years is the first time I said Shiurim on duchening. And I looked into this question a little bit. And it seemed to me that the Shaliach Tzibur should not run up to the front. The Shaliach Tzibur, or let's say it differently. In the Minyan in YU, the posek of the Minyan in YU used to be Reb David Lifshitz. And Reb David told Rabbi Shimon Kerner he should not duchen in Yamim Narayim. He's the Baal Tefillah, he shouldn't duchen. And that is based on the simple reading of the Mishnah in Brachos and Daf Lamed Daled, where the Mishnah says the only time a shaliach tzibur is allowed to duchen is if two things. He's the only kohen, and he's convinced he's not going to make a mistake. So yes, today you have a machzor in front of you, you have a sitter in front of you, you're convinced you're not going to make a mistake. But the pashtus in the Mishnah is that the only time we allow a shaliach tzibur to duchen is if he's the only kohen. The Magen Avraham already notes that the minhag was that the shaliach tzibur would duchen even if there are other kohanim. But that minhag seems to be against the halacha. Reb David Lifshitz, when he was the posek in the Minyan, told Rabbi Kerner, don't duchen. When Reb Shechter became the posek in the Minyan, he told Rabbi Kerner to duchen. Rabbi Kerner apparently on his own decided, oh, if I'm going to duchen, I'm going to run up to the front of the base medrash and duchen from there. I don't think Reb Shechter was sensitive to what he was doing. And then I was saying shiurim on this topic, so I looked into sugya and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Duchen is not ma'akev. The duchen in the sense of a platform, you can duchen without being on the duchen. You don't need to be on the platform. And if you don't need to be on the platform, you shouldn't just run up to the front. What you should do is just turn around where you're standing and move the base medrash and duchen from there. So that was the way the practice changed. There were like three stages in the practice in the old YU base medrash about Rabbi Shimon Kerner and his duchening. And of course, everything comes back to the YU base medrash, which it is so depressing. Now it is absolutely empty. You can't get in. It's locked up. We are keeping the world going with Zoom Torah. Okay, Chevra, is there anything else to discuss on this sugya? So the Shulchan Aruch, what do you mean by a yachid? A single kohen, does the single kohen duchen without being called? So, Shulchan Aruch sounds like the single kohen duchens only when he's called. The Taz disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz passes like the Torah, that the single kohen duchens even when he's not called. Okay, I'm talking about a single kohen who's not a kohen shaliach tzibur. If you have a shul that's in the Beis Yosef, but I believe it makes it to Shulchan Aruch also. Again, I didn't bring my Shulchan Aruch, my Mishnah Berurah, into the room over here, but I'm pretty sure it makes it to the Shulchan Aruch as well, yeah. Again, there is a whole discussion also. Now, part of the issue as to whether... let's pause over here. Okay, my understanding is that next week we have a full week of Shiur, which is Monday and Wednesday, and then Yeshiva stops on Thursday. Thursday is the last day of Yeshiva, college, whatever we call it. It's the last day before Pesach, and then we will continue Zoom Torah after Yontiv. I don't know, are they going to let you back into the dorms to get your stuff? It's like everything is just stuck there? Correct. You should know we have a few guys who are still in the uptown dorm over here, guys who couldn't go anywhere. It happens that one of those guys currently has a case of coronavirus. So, like, the seven guys who are stuck in the dorm are all in deep states of panic. It is what it is. It's not a great situation. These guys also, they have nowhere to go. When you're in New York City now, no one's going to let you go anywhere. One of the guys is from Florida, right? The state of Florida will let you in, but you have to be quarantined for 14 days. Yeah. Seriously? You're officially quarantined or you're self-quarantined? Why are you... This is scary stuff. I don't know. I mamish have no idea like what to do. I'm stuck at home with like five kids. I have to admit I'm not like so frum. I take my kids out for like a walk once a day, or like we throw a ball around outside. They're gonna go crazy, and I'm gonna go crazy if we don't do it. That's right. Right. It's, I don't know. I don't know, like, yeah. Right. No, it's, you start gardening. Again, I think, by the way, like on a very serious note, you got to take care of yourselves. Because, let me just say it like this. It's very hard for college students to go home, for Yomim Tovim in general. Because, you know, you already have your own life and then you're thrown back into your childhood role. That's hard. Kol Shekein, now that you're home for an extended period of time.
And for some of you, you're not even in normal home. Like, the world is turned upside down. You have to take care of yourselves. Like, it's very important to exercise. It's very important, like, again, just to find some time to schmooze with people. One of the advantages of being in the dorm is that, like, you could have those 3 o'clock in the morning conversations that make absolutely no sense afterwards, but it's something that you look forward to. It's something that relaxes you. If you're not going to relax, you're not going to be able to focus. You have to... Eitza tova. Like, you really got to exercise. It's not going to be easy. This is a really hard time for everybody. You know, chayech kodmin. You have to take care of yourselves. That's today's musar. Probably the least musari bit of musar ever. But, okay, chevra. Steig away. And we'll continue. I'm going to continue sota with you next week. Sometimes people, what's it called, they do like psachim already now. I'd rather just continue in sota with you next week in Yiratz Hashem. Okay, chevra? Have a wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov, all the best. I'm going to end this meeting.